To another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your co-host Corey Kennan alongside Dalton Miller. Today we have another Daft or Draft edition again where we get to spew some hot takes and we get to decide whether or not we're buying or selling those hot takes. It's one of our favorite episodes to do every week. So we've got four new questions, four new hot takes that we're going to throw out there and we're going to be dafting or drafting. So before we do that, let's bring Dalton in. Dalton, welcome back. We just spoke at the wee hours of the morning and we're back now. How was your day in Portugal?
It's insane that I forgot that we recorded this morning. It's been so long. Long days here when you're waking up at 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m. It's just what my body is doing at this point of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I'm trying to hit the hay as early as possible. Still try to get 7-8 hours of sleep if I can. Usually I can't. Usually it's between 6 and 8, but it is what it is. I am surviving. The weather has turned. It is beautiful. We went for a walk today. I am taking crews out for walks almost every single morning as my wife gets started work before I go to the gym. It is a phenomenal time here in Portugal.
I love that. That's one of the finer things in life. When my son was a baby, 6 months old, he was born in January. So he was like 6 months old during summertime. And like loading him up in the stroller, he would sleep in the stroller. He was awesome.
Throw him in the bassinet and go, baby.
Oh yeah. And he would just ride and we'd go on like 5 mile walks and he wouldn't make a peep for 5 miles. Take a bottle with us. If he woke up, stick it in his mouth, keep going. Oh, it was amazing.
Yep.
Some of the best times, but all right, let's dive into some daft or drafts here, Dalton. So first daft or draft here, we're going to talk about a running back. Ashton Jeanty obviously gets the deserved RB1 hype in this class, but we've talked about how fun of a running back class it is. And coming out of the combine, it kind of seems like Omarion Hampton, North Carolina, kind of has the RB2 buzz, kind of nose out in front of the rest of the group here. So we're talking about running backs here. Dafter draft, Omarion Hampton will go top 20 this upcoming April.
I'm going to draft it. I'm going to draft it. I wouldn't draft it if I were a general manager. I think that with the talent and depth in this class, I would probably just preferably pass. I love running backs like Omarion Hampton. I don't love how backs like Omarion Hampton have recently translated to the NFL level. Specifically, the one that he might be replacing in Denver, in Javonte Williams. They are, even beside, and I know that I've talked about this with Daniel Jones and with Riley Leonard, both being Duke guys and being similar players. But Omarion Hampton, although I do think that the zone eyes are better than Javonte Williams. Mm-hmm. I don't think in Denver he would be the perfect fit, but I think that Denver might end up where he ends up. And so it's just a really interesting situation. We've also seen him most recently mocked multiple times by Mel Kiper to the Dallas Cowboys at 12. So the NFL must really like Omarion Hampton because we wouldn't have some of the top names in the industry throwing his name into the ring in the top 15 without hearing that a team or teams were valuing or the running back that high.
Yeah. Let me look at the draft board here. So assuming Jeanty's up the board. If Jeanty goes to 6 to Vegas, I mean, he could go as high as 10 to Chicago. Yeah. You couldn't tell me Ben Johnson doesn't see a little David Montgomery action in what Omarion Hampton can do.
Dallas. He's got way more juice than David Montgomery, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think Arizona at 16 would be in play for running back, but James Conner's, no, they just drafted Trey Benson last year. They wouldn't be in play. Cincinnati could be in play, although they have Chase Brown who went over 1,000 last year, and they kind of like, I don't think Denver's the fit though. I really don't.
I don't think they're the fit, but
I can't see how Sean Payton would want to run it with Omarion Hampton over a guy like Caleb Johnson or even Trey Henderson, to be honest. Just scheme wise. But that being said, I mean, there's a lot of fits. Like, Chicago feels like Janty's floor. If Janty's gone, they probably go defensive. Oh, man, this is tough. And they could go defensive end really easily at 10. I really don't think Dallas takes a running back.
What about Miami?
No. That would be bold of Miami to take a running back.
It would be bold, but you might also turn around and hand him the ball 250 times so your quarterback doesn't take another head injury.
Yeah.
Because let's take a look at their running backs over the years, or San Francisco's running backs over the years with Mike McDaniel. How many of them are 205 pounds, 195 pounds, run a 4.3 and get hurt every three games?
All of them.
All of them.
But that makes me think that they won't take Hampton because he's not like them. He's not but a
they might have McDaniel to change guy. Up. They might have to change up the.
To their, me, that's like formula. A Trey Henderson day two guy would be perfect for that running back room for them.
Oh, for sure. But
yeah, I'm gonna draft this man. I'm gonna draft this. Chicago at 10 really does kind of glare at me a little bit, assuming Genty's off the board. Two running backs in the top 10 though hasn't happened in a very long time.
I would not count out the Cowboys at 12 either.
Really? Pairing him and Javonte would be really funny.
It would be.
That would be very funny. I'm going to go ahead and draft it. I mean, when we're talking about running backs, two in the same first round, the last time it happened was Bijan and Jameer, and both those guys offer so much out of the backfield as receivers, and I don't think that's something that Omarion has in his skill set. Etienne was the same way. Najee Harris was the same way. All those guys were good receivers out of college.
Oh, no. I think Hampton and Etienne are very similar when it comes to receiving ability. So? I actually think Hampton's better as a receiver than Etienne
didn't have
was.
Good hands, yeah. But Etienne went back end. He went like top 25. He went like 25 or something like that to Jacksonville then, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Hampton's better than Etienne was, but.
Yeah,
I just wasn't a huge wasn't fan a, of him.
No, I'm still gonna draft it, man. I'm still gonna draft it.
All right.
I guess how deep the running back class is. Like, for me, this is kind of where I'm at. Like, DJ Giddens in this class is running back 6 for me, running back 5 for me in that range. What? And I think that guy's a pretty solid, like, round 3 running back. I don't think the needle moves much from Hampton to Giddens. Two rounds different. Like to be a 2-round gap there. Like, I really don't. And so I can't, I mean, I kind of have that feeling about, not that I don't value running backs, but I kind of feel like that, like all running backs are pretty scheme specific and like pretty scheme dependent. Now, Genty is a different beast where like he's a bowling ball and he crashes through contact and his contact balance does allow him to overcome some other deficiencies along the offense that he faced at Boise State. But yeah, I'm going to draft it. Again, it could be 20 at Denver. Could be 21 at Pittsburgh. They love drafting running backs. It could be 22 at LA. But I think like a more gap scheme oriented team would be a better fit, like LA. Perhaps even Minnesota. I know Kevin O'Connell does a lot of zone stuff, but they do quite a. He's a McVay guy, and McVay's sprinkled in a lot of gap fun eye candy stuff in his run game. So, I'm going to draft it. He might go first round, but I don't think he's going top 20.
All
right. Next one here. So even with the premium of offensive tackles, we've talked about this a lot, that every NFL team needs an offensive tackle. Even with the premium need at offensive tackle, we're going to set the over under here at 4.5. After draft, the over under on offensive tackles taken to the first round will be under 4.5.
Yeah, it's going to be over. It's going to be at least 5.
I think so.
Yep. Will Campbell, Armon Membau, Kelvin Banks Jr., Josh Simmons, for me, are all no doubters.
For sure.
Should be no doubters. After that, I think Josh Connerly to 32 to Kansas City is a big, big option.
They just signed Jalen Moore, though, to $15 million a year.
I know. Also, I could see Cameron Williams at right tackle to replace the right tackle that they have right now, who is horrific and expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Although
he's locked in,
both of them have horrific penalty issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Marcus Bowe sneaks in at right tackle there at the very end of round one. Jonas Savainai was much better at right tackle than he was at left tackle. And he wasn't great at right tackle this year, but he was flip-flopping all of the time this year between left and right. So, man, I'm going to go with five. I think Connerly ends up sneaking in at the very back end. We already talked about it being a premium, and we already know this class overall falls. I have 9 first-round grades. And so I think teams are going to go, we need this. Connerly's a great athlete. Let's go and go after it and try it out.
I'm going to adapt this one, too. I do think we're only going to see 4. I think we're going to see the 4 you mentioned, Banks, Campbell, Membau, Simmons.
Interesting.
The reason I say that is because I'm looking at the amount of money in free agency that was spent on offensive tackle. And to me, that says teams are trying to get ahead of it, ahead of the draft. Like, to me, 29 at Washington was a glaring, like, they could take a right tackle. They just traded for Laremy Tunsil. Kansas City signed Jalen Moore. And again, that Jalen Moore contract is a pseudo one-year deal. So, like, they could get out of it after a year. So they could draft for the future there. And Jawan Taylor is going to be out after the season as well. So, like, there's definitely, if you're drafting for the future and you want to sit a guy and maybe play him at swing to start his career, like, yeah, I think Kansas City is still a solid option. Honestly, Jalen Moore at $15 million, like, that's not enough money where you could tell me, like, oh, that could be a swing tackle. I'd probably believe you a little bit, too. Yeah. It's an expensive swing tackle, but looking at how much offensive tackles are making, like, you could tell me they could draft Josh Connerly, and then they just play Jalen Moore at swing. And I'd be pretty okay with that.
Or they just start Jalen Moore for a year and let Connerly develop
as
the swing.
Yeah. Houston's another team, but Houston kind of like puzzle pieced it together with pretty expensive free agents as well. And not really solid trades, but trades like Cam Robinson to play left tackle. Now they still have Titus Howard. They got Ed Ingram in there. I mean, so that's to say that there are like the Rams brought back Alaric Jackson and Rob Havenstein. So like they brought back both their tackles where we thought the Rams have a huge need to tackle. So for me, it's hard to find a fit. Cincinnati is one where they could just continue to double up on offensive linemen. They could go out and get another one. Amarius Mims played right tackle in college. They could go play him at right tackle. Orlando Brown is probably got 1 year left. Trent Brown's already gone after a year. Like Orlando Brown isn't that good of a player anymore either. So like Cincinnati could do it. Arizona could do it. I guess there are quite a few teams, but again, I'm looking at the depth of this class and all those teams are coming back up mid round and I'd feel much more comfortable. Like Connerly is the wild card here. I think he's the only wild card though. Cause I think nobody's drafting Gray is able to play tackle. I wouldn't draft him in the first round, but I think probably somebody will. People love Ariante Irsari. He's more of a day two guy. Savainai seems like he's more of a day two guy, even as high as I am on it. Like people seem to be more day two on him. Bo's the same way. Another wild card would be if you consider Donovan Jackson a tackle or a guard. I think the NFL probably sees him as a guard with pinch, the ability to start in a pinch at tackle.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm not really counting Donovan Jackson in this scenario. I think Cam Williams is way out of first round conversation at this point, just how his season ended.
Should be.
So Connerly really is the wild card here. Connerly's so fascinating too. Where like his best tape are against his best opponents, and his worst tape are against the worst level of competition he played all season. Like he put out really bad tape against Idaho, really bad tape against teams like Purdue. Like the worst teams on his schedule so it always seems like he tries to match competition. So there is an element of consistency that's missing there. But he is a former 5-star and a top tier athlete. So that's the thing. The team sitting at the back end of the first round, though, either traded for Laremy Tunsil or spent money on offensive tackle and free agency. So I think I'm still going to draft this. Now, sitting like we could talk top of round two, where we've got Cleveland, New England, Tennessee could even double up, even though they just paid Jalen Moore a bunch of money. Vegas, that's where you start to see teams like we could see a big run of offensive linemen heading in. The Jets, huge run on offensive linemen heading into early second round, I think. But I'm going to stick with four for round one.
All right. What's the next one we got then?
Draft or draft. Edge will have the most players selected in round one.
Yeah, I'm gonna draft this. And I'm gonna draft this simply because of positional value. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at this class overall, I really struggle going through the first round and saying like there's gonna be two quarterbacks. If there's three quarterbacks, the NFL made a mistake. Running back, it's the positional value is not there. Wide receiver, the class just isn't there this year to have 7-8 guys go in the first round. Tight end will never happen. Offensive tackle, we just talked about, might not get 5. Guard will never happen. The center, obviously not. Defensive tackle, no matter how good it is, the NFL will never value it the way that they value edge. Linebacker, same deal. Corner in this class? Nope, not a chance. So I think by default, it has to be edge. And it's definitely edge if you consider Jalen Walker an edge rusher. So for me, yeah, Abdul Carter, Shamar Stewart, Mykel Williams, however you feel about him. Those three plus Jalen Walker, in my opinion, because I do think he will be drafted as an edge rusher. That's four right there. And then you're telling me one of James Pierce Jr. And I know the off the field or coachable stuff is a little bit weird there, but Pierce, Scorton, Ezeraquu, Mike Green, I mean, Landon Jackson tested well. Like there's going to be probably 6 edge rushers off of the board in the first round. And I think that, I mean, that's enough to take the cake.
Yeah. I'm going to draft this one too. The numbers have to come from somewhere. The numbers have to come from somewhere, and it's not quarterback this year.
You can never have enough edge rushers on your team. And that's the other thing is you correct, legitimately can play 3 5 edge rushers. 50% of the time, 60% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. The only position I think could give it a run for its money is wide receiver at 5, because, you know, counting Travis Hunter as a wide receiver here. Travis Hunter, Tet, Burton, Golden, Egbuka, those 5. And Egbuka is kind of on the fringe right now. We talked about, you know, kind of his average draft positioning right now is around like 27, 28. So Egbuka is kind of right there on the fringe, but I still think he goes first round. So I think we're sitting at 5 receivers, which I think is the only
position. I have a wild card for you. Who? What about Jaden Higgins? I think Jaden Higgins might slide it. Might slip into the first round.
Uh-huh. Wow. To me, he feels top to mid of round 2. Like to me, that we're talking about Jaden Higgins the same way we talked about Christian Watson a few years ago coming out of North Dakota State, where he had a really awesome Senior Bowl, tested really well. Like, good size, fluidity.
He's speed, a way better combo. Route runner. He's a way better route runner than Watson. Way better.
I mean, I get it. I honestly think the other Iowa State kid might be more of one of those candidates that some team in the back end of round 1 could really love. Noel.
Oh, I don't.
Really? Dude, I love Noel.
I know. I like Noel. But I'm saying I don't see the NFL liking Noel nearly as much as they like Higgins.
I don't think Higgins is sliding in. To me, this seems like a pretty set 5.
Yeah.
Now, if Io Manor, Io Manor should have gone out and done a few more things this offseason cycle, and maybe he would be in that conversation based off of his 2023 hype plus, you know. But so that's to say, I do think 5. And again, we're talking Carter, Stewart, Williams are locks. I think those three guys are locks.
Mm-hmm.
Green is iffy. Scorton's iffy. Ezir Waku is starting to sound like a lock.
Yeah.
Starting to sound like a lock. So we're talking about four potential locks there. But again, the numbers have to come from somewhere. Like, yeah. I've even heard Mel Kiper talking about Oladejo going round one, which I think would be very rich. Very rich. But he's a freak athlete playing the position for 1 year. So but that seems like a Chris Ballard day two kind of pick.
To me. Yeah.
For sure. So four, and then we're talking outside of four, where I struggle to see any other wide receivers outside of the five I mentioned. I could see Mike Green, Nick Scorton, Lana Jackson. Like, that, there's three right there. James Pierce, if somebody wants to take that shot. Like,
yeah.
Jordan Birch. People love his athleticism and size profile. I don't love it that much. But yeah, I'm going to buy this one too. I'm going to draft this one too.
Alrighty.
Last one. We're going to talk about a player that we have not heard about in a very long time. He kind of went ghost on us there after his injury. And a player who came in with first round buzz and is another one, like we talked about yesterday, another one of those guys who came in as a true freshman and dominated very early on in their career. And then through summer scouting, seemed like, yeah, maybe the league doesn't seem like this is a first round guy. Then he got hurt with a hip injury and hasn't tested or done anything since. After draft, Notre Dame corner Benjamin Morrison will still be a top 60 pick in the NFL draft.
It's always tough to after draft these because I don't know the overall injury concern with the hip. I didn't get the medical report from Indianapolis. If his medical report and recovery is coming back clean, I'm going to draft this. If not, then it's an easy draft. He doesn't go until round three. Five or six if he gets drafted at all, because we're talking about a corner with a hip injury. Not going to happen. If any athleticism zapped, and you're not worth the, you're just not worth the pick. You're worth maybe a flyer after to see if you actually have any athleticism left. But we are talking about, in my opinion, and analytically speaking, when he was on the field, there's somebody who was, for better or worse, like, or for practically locked down in a defense that, you know, Corey, I know you've kind of questioned his fluidity. They make you step up and play press man a lot. They make you work at corner. They make you be a reactive athlete. And I think when we watch him, I think the funny part about that Notre Dame defense, and the one thing that I actually hate about it, is the way that they coach their corners to carry the front shoulder in man coverage when they are pressing vertical, because they just get absolutely bullied by stop routes left and right if they're not able to, you know, kind of react to it and face guard that in time. But for me, I think technically speaking, as a zone coverage player, the mental side of the game when it comes to just Notre Dame defensive backs in general, if he has a clean bill of health, I think he showed he's athletic enough to be in that first round conversation. Clean bill of health, he's going to be a top 60 player in a class that I just struggle to look at and say, I would take that guy over Benjamin Morrison.
Yeah, so I looked it up. The past three drafts, we've had seven corners in each of the last three classes on the dot go in the top 60. I can't name six better corners in this class than Benjamin Morrison. Even if I do think Benjamin Morrison is firmly a mid-day two guy, every team is playing 70% nickel now. They need at least three corners who can start. And that's a numbers game. Like, you need six or seven DBs in your room at a time.
Especially if Hunter gets drafted as a receiver.
Right, yeah. And so, like, we're talking about, again, let's scratch out Travis Hunter. Will Johnson, Jadae Barron, Siobhan Revel. That's three. I would probably put Azaria Thomas and Maxwell Harrison above him right now. So that's five. After that, I don't think Trey Amos is as good as a lot of people, as high as a lot of people have Trey Amos.
I don't. Darian Porter. People love Darian Porter.
Darian Porter is very stiff and a rotational player in his sixth year. Zy Alexander, not a huge Zy Alexander fan. Denzel Burke, brother. If you could have gone back to school for a fifth year, you should have, but he couldn't. So like Denzel Burke's not in that conversation for me. I know you like Dorian Strong. Dorian Strong could be maybe in that conversation.
I'm still not taking Strong before Morrison, and I really like Strong.
Yeah. To that, I might, and this would be, but this would only be five and six corners for me because I only mentioned four to begin with, and I mentioned five, so this would be six and seven here. Jacob Parrish, Kansas State.
I knew you were going to bring up Parrish, and I agree.
Kobe Bryant, Kansas.
Absolutely not.
Mm.
They won't do like it. The no, the NFL won't do it.
They drafted Emmanuel Forbes in the first round.
Yeah, but Forbes ran a 4.33.
Yeah, as Kobe ran a 4.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's undersized and slow.
Yeah. Okay, one more, though. Quincy Riley.
He's like 27.
No, he's not. He's like 23.
That's still old. He's still a six-year guy.
He's 23. He turns 24. He'll be a 24-year-old rookie. Okay, you're right. He's a little old. Okay, so Jacob Parrish, then we'll throw Jacob Parrish in. That still puts Benjamin Morrison at seven.
Yeah.
In the past 3 years, we've had seven in the top 60, so I'm going to draft this one, too. I'm going to draft this one, too.
All right.
I don't think we're talking any other corners that could potentially come up there. So. Benjamin Morrison, probably that seventh guy, though, behind, again, not counting Travis Hunter, Johnson, Barron, Revel, Thomas, Maxwell, Parrish, Morrison. I think he's probably those seven right there.
If the NFL likes Parrish that much. Which
I think they do,
dude. I think he's really good.
He's really good. And he'll hit at that size too, man. That's a bona fide nickel for a team that loves to run base nickel.
Yep. I agree.
All right.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Knocked it out. Four of them. All right. We got two more episodes this week. Stay tuned for what they are because we don't know what they are yet. So we'll figure
one's
that out.
One's going to be a Q&A, but that'll probably be Friday's episode.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, until next time. I've been Corey, and I guess I am Corey. I'm not Willie. I am Corey. That's been Dalton, and this has been the Daft on Draft podcast.